This is the Preparedness Radio Network, preparing you for natural and man-made disasters, helpful tips on gardening and homesteading. Be prepared. And remember, preparedness saves lives. This is the Preparedness Radio Network.
Yeah?
Did you want to see me, sir?
Well, I did, but now that I do, I'm not so sure.
Sir?
Johnson, I got a mission for you that could change your life.
Oh, good, sir.
It involves traveling halfway around the world without so much as half a clue of where you're going or what you're going to do when you get there.
Situation normal, sir?
Uh-huh. Well, I'll be leading this mission, Johnson, so I'll be telling you what to do.
You, sir?
That's right, Johnson, and I say first things first.
Oh, good plan, sir.
And what I say is first is food. Always remember that, Johnson. Food is a big deal.
Sir, my brother-in-law can get us a really good deal on some surplus MREs.
Johnson, if you've got half a brain and that empty head of yours, you'll call the freeze-dry guy like I did. That food is better for you, it rehydrates faster, and it's good, Johnson. And it keeps for up to 30 years.
Will we be gone that long, sir?
I hope not.
Now, get your supplies organized and meet me down to the pier at dawn on Sunday. We sail at sunrise.
Yes, sir.
This adventure is brought to you by the freeze-dry guy. Call 866-404-3663 or visit freezedryguy.com.
The Self-Reliance Expo is coming to the Mesquite Convention Center February 10th and 11th. The keynote presenter is Mike Adams, the health ranger and editor-in-chief of naturalnews.com. Come and hear what more than 3.2 million people read about from Mike Adams every month. Mike will be speaking on survival nutrition, how to choose foods and supplements that will keep you alive and healthy. Hourly education workshops and presentations will be taking place each day at the Self-Reliance Expo. Classes include cooking essentials by Sun Oven, personal protection, home defense, canine demonstrations, homeschooling, learn to suture by Dr. Bones and Nurse Amy, and how to build underground structures. This is one expo that is a must for all ages. There will be prize giveaways and drawings, exhibitor awards, and much more. For more information, go to selfrelianceexpo.com. Like us on Facebook and save $2 when buying your tickets online. Kids 12 and under are free. Tickets valid for both days. So bring the whole family. Selfrelianceexpo.com.
BHM Radio is on the air on the Preparedness Radio Network. BHM Radio is the official show for Backwoods Home Magazine, expanding the stories you love in print live across the net. And now, your hosts for BHM Radio, Colorado Ron and Bubba Da Vinci.
Hey, 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 guys. This is BHM Radio, the official radio show of Backwoods Home Magazine. Hope you guys are all doing well out there. You out there, Colorado Ron?
Ron hasn't called in yet, but I'm sure he'll call in shortly.
We were actually just talking about that a few minutes ago. For those of you guys who haven't had the weather, we've been having fantastic weather here in the Midwest for the past 7 to 10 days, 53-degree weather, which is very odd for the winter. And today, both of us got hit with a severe weather advisory, and Colorado Ron was calling me from his cell phone telling me he's stuck in the snow and he was trying to get home because the snow had already hit him. We're supposed to be getting it tonight. But we'll go ahead and carry on without him until he can get to his house. We're really excited this week. We will be having Patricia Lewis as one of our guests. Patricia Lewis is one of our homestead writers. She and her husband, Don, run a homecraft business selling tankards. They're homeschoolers. She blogs. She writes. She has books out. This woman can do everything. It's very, very exciting, and we're happy to be having Patrice on the show today. Additionally, we're going to be announcing a new segment at the bottom half of this first segment, called the Red Shed Bookshelf, and we'll have a lot more details on that as we get towards the bottom half of the hour. But you know, the big thing that we have coming up that we're real excited to talk about and glad that we have you guys with us to kind of go through things is the Self-Reliance Expo is next week. So as you know, every week on Friday, 8 p.m. Central Standard Time, we rotate between Backwoods Home BHM Radio and Self-Reliance Exposed. And next week on Friday, we will be able to broadcast live from the expo, which will be in Mesquite, Texas, which is a suburb of Dallas. And we will have the whole shebang there. Actually, it looks like, Ron, I can hear you breathing on there. You on? Oh, he's still not on. Okay, I thought I heard him breathing. Oh, there he is. Colorado Ron.
Hey, what?
Are you out there,
Ron? Crazy mushing, out there.
Are you mushing the dogs? I mean, you got the whip going and everything else?
You know, I should not have gone out there tonight. I tell you what, it's a bunch of crazy drivers out there, man. We got ice all over the highways and people driving 10 mile an hour to 50 mile an hour zone. It's nuts out there. So I should not have done that tonight. Probably picked a bad night to do that.
Well, we're just glad that you made it safe. I mean, I'm expecting it tonight. It's already started to get freezing rain here, and I'm sure by another 2 or 3 hours we'll start seeing the flakes go. Believe me, I won't be going any place tomorrow. But it's ridiculous when the snow hits again, and after a week of having sunshine and 53-degree weather, everybody forgets how to drive again.
Yeah, it is crazy, you know. And you get those people that are in four-wheel drive, and it is, you know, they think they got four-wheel stop and, you know, end up in the ditch. I bet we counted probably 20 people in the ditch on the way home.
Well, I was just catching people up with some of the things that we were covering. As I mentioned, that we have Patrice Lewis as one of our guests at the second half hour. And, you know, something, I have to apologize to Patrice if she's listening. I talked to her this week. It's kind of a funny story. You know, I like to call our guests early in the week and just have a conversation with them and to get to know them a little bit and have a conversation. And I was talking with someone else, and I made the comment, and I called her. I think she was always saying, people never call me Patrice. At least once in every show, they say Patricia and things like that. And when you weren't on and I started introducing the show, I was looking at my notes from my phone conversation that says, don't call her Patricia. And then I heard out of my mouth, Patricia Lewis will be on. So,
oh, no.
I know. I did exactly what I wasn't supposed to do by reading my own notes. So, to Patrice, if you're already out there listening, please don't hate me. I was reading my notes, not to accidentally call you, to call you Patrice and not call you Patricia, and I did it anyway. Please, Maricopa, I apologize. but I was just explaining to him, next week we will be live from the Self-Reliance Expo in Mesquite, which is so exciting. We'll be there with our family members. We'll be there with Dave Duffy, from the owner and founder of Backwoods Home Magazine. We'll be there with a lot of the hosts that you hear us talk to all the time, from the CEO of Sun Oven to Humless to, yes, we got some great guys. Actually, you want to rattle off a couple like the keynote speakers that we'll be having at the show?
Yeah, absolutely. We've got obviously our main keynote is Mike Adams from Natural News. Mike is just a wealth of information when it comes to natural eating and staying healthy and in a crisis situation where you're having to depend on your food storage. And so we're glad to have him there. We've also got we got so many people. You know, we've got doTERRA talking about essential oils. We have Dr. Bones Nurse Amy doing suturing classes, and they're also talking about collapsed medicine. We even have people coming in, Appleseed Project coming in to talk about the Constitution. I was amazed at some of the stuff. I thought I knew the Constitution pretty well, and I was very amazed at, the information they offered at the last expo. So I'm excited to hear, what they're bringing as far as that goes. And then we also have, School of Natural Healing. They'll be there, and they'll be talking about herbs that you can grow in your backyard that can help you with medicines, medical needs. We have Life Sprouts that's going to be doing a presentation. They always do an awesome presentation on, you know, growing your own sprouts and, you know, storing those seeds in your food storage. So, yeah, we've just got a ton of presentations going on. Matter of fact, you know, Scott, you were the one that convinced me that we needed more classes and to break it up to where we actually have three stages going now instead of just one. So, you know, we were having just one stage, and it was, you know, it was standing room only, and then and Scott's like, well, let's change this up so that we have three stages, and that way it rotates, and people can go, you know, can hear something on this one and hear something on this stage, and you know, so that's what we did. So,
right, and one you know, thing that we want you guys to know, first of all, you know, you're welcome to come down. You know, we hope that you do. One of the things that Backwoods Home Magazine takes very seriously, which is why they put out the magazine, and we take very seriously, is education. Education is key to getting rid of the fear and getting into the lifestyle, and the lifestyle being preparedness and self-reliance. And, you know, one of the things that for the price of the admission coming inside the show is all of the seminars and classes for both days are free. You pay one fee, which is remarkably low. We're talking $7 to get in the door. You come to the show. You get to see all the vendors, touch and feel all the product, and you can sit down, talk to Dave Duffy. You know, he's a friendly guy, got a great little beard, and you know, get all kinds of these people are fountains of information. And they get up on stage and they impart this information to you, and we do it for free because we really, really care about getting you guys educated. So we hope you guys get to come down. Hopefully we'll be able to get Dave and a couple of people live on the mic. They're a little radio shy sometimes, but we'll do our best to get them on next week. And let's kind of get into some of the topics for today because we've got a lot to get covered. So, you know, one of the things in this magazine that was covered, Ron, is, you know, working with cast iron. And I have to tell you, I am fearful of cast iron. My family used it. I never took the time to learn how to use it. And I've got several frying pans and everything else, but care of cast iron, cooking in cast iron, all this stuff. When I go to someone's house that knows how to use it, the flavor, everything is awesome. Me personally, I suck at it. You know, so one of the challenges this week is Colorado Ron took on the cast iron loaf pan article. And he and his wife, Heather, decided to go ahead and give it a try and give some cooking in it. And kind of tell us what it was about and what your experience was.
Okay. Well, first of all, in all fairness, my wife is really good at cast iron. So we've been cooking with cast iron for, oh, geez, I don't know, probably 7-8 years full time. That's all my wife cooks on. And so when we got the article and – you know, I told her about the different recipes in there. They were a lot of recipes that we hadn't tried. And so we were pretty excited to try some of those recipes. And, of course, I went straight for the desserts. And if you guys have your – actually, if you have your issue of Backwoods Home Magazine, it is on 24 cast iron loaf pans from breakfast to dessert. And when I saw that, when it said dessert, I just went right to the back – the article. So the first one was a wood stoved baked apple for two. It was more of wood stove baked apple for one really hungry guy. But I did share with my wife, but it was delish. What I love about cast iron is it's dual purpose. First of all, I do not have to have camping dishes and then a kitchen set of dishes. When we go camping, we just grab one of the pans out of the kitchen cupboard that we normally cook with from the stove and take it with us. That's a great asset to have. And we, you know, we can cook on an open fire. We can cook on electric stoves, although I don't have an electric stove. But you know, we cook on a gas stove. And one of the first things that my wife cooked with it, and a lot of people don't realize this, but a bread baking a skillet, an actual skillet, you know, you can just stick it in the oven and bake with it too. So the first thing my wife did, I didn't know this, but you know, she made cornbread. It is the best cornbread because you get this, and it's the same with the bread. You get this nice little crust around the outside of it. It's just so delicious. And we had it with my wife made some shrimp jambalaya and this cornbread, and she just put the two big skillets right on the table, and man, we just went after it. But the then when we tackled this article and we were looking at the ones, we had the banana nut bread. And I told my wife, I said, well, we got to try this for breakfast. And we actually had some bananas sitting around already, and it was like, perfect, let's do it. And that was the first one we did after the apple, actually. But it was the second one, and it was delish. It's moist, and like I said, you get this nice little crust on the outside. And the benefits of using the cast iron is that, first of all, it dispenses the heat evenly. So whether you're cooking on an open flame or cooking in the oven, it dispenses that heat. So everything cooks perfect, perfectly around the same temperature all the way around. So the that's a huge benefit. And then obviously my wife's been cooking bread probably for about 7 years, 8 years as well. And we grind our own wheat. She uses that wheat. She makes her own bread. And then we cooked it in the cast iron pans, and it just comes in. Obviously my wife's been doing it for a while, so she's has got it gotten down to a fine art, a nice there, and she just can whip it out. But the one that really interested me, and I didn't have the meat to do this one, so I changed it up a little bit, was the goat loaf, and that's on page 26. If you guys have your issue. And it talks about the goat loaf, and that one caught my eye, of course, because it's the first ingredient was six strips of bacon.
I actually, when I read the magazine, that was the one that actually caught my eye. I'm not this is terrible to say. Most people are going to say, really? I'm not a big dessert person. Never have been. If my family makes a half a dozen pies, a slice of pie, and I'm done for the night. I probably won't eat it again. And I don't know why. I've just never been a sweet person. Even if I have like a cup of coffee or something to sour it up, to balance it out, I'm lost. But when I saw the dinner, I was just like, ooh, this sounds like heaven to me.
I backed off for a second because it said goat loaf, but then when I read it, it says, or you can use lamb, beef, elk, or bear, and which kind of surprised me. But I had elk in the freezer, so we pulled that out and used, and it was just, oh man, it was delish. It turned out perfect. It wasn't too dry.
That's awesome. Let me ask a question because before we get too lost in this half hour, but it really kind of gets to the core of this because I being a cast iron novice on this, and maybe even our blog talk forum people and everything else going to kind of help me out. Are loaf pans that common anymore? I mean, I'll go to auctions and hit a garage sale and even go into some of the stores, the camping stores, and you see that it's not uncommon to see the number 8 cast iron pans, the number 10, finding a cast iron pot is really easy. I don't see the loaf pans and all these specialty pans that people see. Can you still buy them, or do you have to go find, are these things that you have to go out and actively seek?
No, you can still buy them, and I'm not particularly sure where my wife got hers, but she has 1, 2, 3, 8 of them, I believe. So I know you can buy them because I don't believe she bought hers used, which is kind of cool though. That's another cool benefit of cast iron is you can buy these things used and season them, and they're good to go. I bought some because they had some surface rust on them one time at a garage sale. I bought a whole box of cast, just miscellaneous pots, pans, dishes, the little cornbread pan, $5 for the whole bucket, the whole box. And I came home and I just spent a Saturday just cleaning them up and stripping them all down and reseasoning them all. and man, they work perfect. And we, you know, I keep those out in the RV, and those are the ones we take camping with us. It's just perfect. It's not like, what do you call the newer ones where the coating, the Teflon coating starts falling off and stuff like that. And I don't know about you, but I don't want no Teflon in my eggs in the morning.
No, I agree. And that's one of the things. It's, you know, life is funny. It's like, and I don't trust basically anything anymore. It's, you know, one year they're telling you don't use cast iron, don't use this because here's what's bad for you. Next they're selling you Teflon, then they're saying, ooh, the Teflon gives you cancer and Alzheimer's and everything else. You know, I look back and, you know, people used to live and cook with cast iron and do all these other things, and we're fine. And I really think a lot of the time the simplest things were the best. I'm actually reading inside our blog here, our chat here, and Crazy Wolf 223 says that his cast iron has wood handles. I've never seen that before. Cast iron with wood handles?
Oh, yeah.
Really?
Oh yeah, yeah. You can get them. Yeah, you can get them with wood handles. None of ours do, I'm not sure why my wife chose not to, but yeah, you can get them with wood handles. Definitely, I've seen that. Ours are all cast, and she has these almost like a pot, you know, the pot glove, you know, the gloves that you put on your hands, but it's designed, it's a long one, it's just designed to go over the handle. So she just slides it over the handle and picks it up and brings it over to the table, sets it down, and then slides it off.
All right, well, yep. I'm convinced.
Yep, but
we
have a few with wood handles.
I'm going to go ahead and give some cast iron a try. So, you know, We're just getting started on the radio show, and I'm a big contest guy. I love doing contests. I like getting people active and everything else. So, you know, kind of segue really quickly into the next topic, and then I have to make an excuse, and then I'm going to move on to the next topic. But I think we want to do a contest with this, which is, like I said, I am a complete noob at cast iron. What I think I want to do is on our Facebook page, which is Self-Reliance Expo, I want people to send us photographs of their cast iron collection. And if they do, and we get someone that has a really cool, interesting looking collection, we'll pick a winner, and I will send the winner a one-year subscription to Backwoods Home Magazine on me for helping me out, kind of steer my direction in the cast iron world. So there's the challenge.
Can I weigh in that one?
No, you can't weigh in on that one. Yeah, what we'll do is we'll go ahead and do this. This is a one-year subscription to Backwoods Home Magazine on me, on Bubba, that if someone goes ahead and posts on the Self-Reliance Expo Facebook page their collection, we'll run it for a week. We'll pick one of the photographs for the most unique collection, and we'll send you guys a one-year subscription. How's that sound? I think that's pretty cool.
That is pretty cool. That is pretty cool. There's some people out there who's got some really crazy collections of cast iron, some really old ones too. And it's actually become quite the collector pieces on some of these. So it'll be interesting to see some of those pictures.
So Here's kind of a segue. We're kind of talking about contests and giveaways. We were supposed to be talking about my building my brand new barrel stove, and I have a confession to make. Started going through and gathering up the resources. Everything was going according to plan, and I kind of strained my back a little over a week ago, and I go and
on the barrel stove.
I strained my back actually just going down my damn staircase and slipping in the ice. And I go outside, I get my supplies together at the beginning of this week and start to get ready on working it. And I had rinsed out the barrel to kind of get it started, and I filled it with water and was going to shake it around. And I went down to pick it up because I was going to work on it, and forgot there was water in it. And it ended up tossing out my back again. And I feel like a complete idiot. So we're actually going to put that topic on hold for another 2 weeks because I've got the show next week. I've got everything set up to do it and got my camera set up so I can start doing the photographs of it. And then, like an idiot, I went and hurt my back while trying to do it. So that is not part of the article, people. This is the experience that you're going to learn as you kind of go through it, you know, is we're going to do it live. First lesson for building your stove. When you are cleaning it out, remove the water before you try to lift the 55-gallon drum. Okay? It doesn't work. Just doesn't work. Sorry to say. So, you know,
that was probably more of the Bubba than the Da Vinci on that one.
I was just going to say, definitely more Bubba than Da Vinci on that one. I was not thinking when I did it. I'm embarrassed to say it, but, yeah, we will go ahead and cover that. It's just not going to be this week because I didn't get it completed.
If you guys don't know which one we're talking about, it's in the January-February issue on page 20 is that Build-A-Barrel stove, which is really cool. And I was hoping to hear some good reviews on that. So,
well,
get on it, Bubba.
And it was easy to find the stuff and everything else. And I actually even have a place set up for it in my in the area that I have all my work tools and everything else. I thought this will be perfect. And it reads like it's going to be very quick, and then I screwed it up. So, all right, we're getting close to the commercial time, so I want to go over the new segment that we're going to be launching and covering at the Self-Reliance Expo. So one of the most important things to your arsenal when we're talking about education and knowledge is a good working library. You know, it is very, very important that any person that's getting into the prepping world gets a good resource background with books and everything else. And people go, well, all the information is on the net. Yeah, real books. Everybody says the information's on the net. And guess what? If power goes out, you don't have the net. And so our recommendation is always real books, real books, real books. Backwoods Home Magazine Bookstore itself has over 100 books that they have as resources that you can purchase to go there. And there's hundreds more. There's Foxfire. There's James Rawls. There's Cody Lundeen's got books out. You got Arthur T. Bradley. You got James Stevens. I mean, I could go on forever. And, you know, one of the things that I think we're going to do is we're going to run a segment every show called the Red Shed Bookshelf. And what's going to happen is we will announce the books, like for right now for the next show, that we are going to read. Colorado and I, Ron and I, will read the whole book. We will review the book. I don't like the Oprah Winfrey Book Club for Bubba's and preppers. And then what we will do is we'll give our suggestion whether if this is something that you should put in your library, what books that you can compare it to, and hopefully with all of us, we will grow and try to build our arsenal of preparedness together. So this week we're going to do a trifecta. We're going to cover Jackie Clay's cookbook, which I hear is a phenomenal cookbook, and I think Ron, this is giving him a little cheating, has already done it before. We're also going to do her book Starting Over, because if we're going to do Jackie Clay, we need to do Jackie Clay. So those are the two things that we're going to end up covering this week, and we'll talk about it when we get to the next show. The last thing is we are going to do a giveaway. Every time we read a book, we will put out there some sort of contest, and we will give away a copy of the book to someone in our audience because we want you guys to have the resources to be prepared. So I think this is kind of cool. We learn, they learn, and we can kind of go on. So that's
darn
the new
Tweety
segment.
Bird.
I know. That's the new segment. We have Patrice Lewis coming right after the commercial. So we're looking forward to seeing her. We will talk to you guys in a few more minutes.
You're listening to the Preparedness Radio Network. We'll be back after a word from our sponsor. Looking for power grid independence? The Humless Solar Kit is the answer. Increasing brownouts in the U.S. suggest it's time to get a backup. The problem is gas generators are messy, require maintenance, and oh, gas, which may be scarce in a real emergency. Get the Humless Solar Kit by itself or with a 1,000-watt Humless Sentinel generator. The kit includes a 100-watt solar panel, 20-foot extension cord, LED floodlight, rechargeable flashlights, and more. Become a fan at Humless.com or on Facebook.
Want to reduce your dependence on the electrical grid? Trying to save money on groceries? Preparing for a major power outage? We can help. Layman's is your source for everything you need for heat, food, light, and water when there is no power. Glenda Lehman Irvin here for Layman's in Kidron, Ohio. My father, Jay Lehman, founded our store in 1955 to serve the local Amish with non-electric appliances, tools, and houseware items. Today, through our website, laymans.com, a print catalog, and a retail store, we provide oil lamps, water pumps, wood stoves, canning supplies, and hand tools to customers all over the world. If you think it isn't made anymore, check with Lehman's before you give up. Visit laymans.com or call us at 1-877-438-5346 for a free catalog, or just stop by. We're located about an hour south of Cleveland.
Thanks for listening to A Word from Our Sponsors. Now, back to the show on the Preparedness Radio Network.
All right, we're back with BHM Radio. Thanks for joining us this evening. Our next guest is Patrice Lewis, and she is one of our writers for Backwoods Home Magazine. Patrice, are you there?
I am.
Hey, how are you?
Fine, thank you. Thank you for having me on.
Thank you for joining us. All right, so the very first question I have to ask you out the gate is, do you forgive me for my mistake at the top of the show?
I don't think I heard your mistake at the top of the show.
Oh,
you said mistake with everything.
Wonderful. No, actually, I admitted it to the audience. And, you know, I was joking around that, Colorado Ron, who's on, was a few minutes late because he just got hit with some snow. And I was doing the intro and introducing you. And I did the faux pas. I was reading my notes because obviously I was one-manning it and I didn't have anybody to play off of. I was reading my notes and it said, please make sure you do not call Patrice Patricia. And so I get in there and I go, and our special guest is Patricia Lewis. And then I was like, ooh. And then I laughed and I said, you know, the one thing she asked me not to do, you know, is to make sure, because it has this happen all the time. And here's the very first thing coming out of my mouth and I do it.
Well, that's so okay. Instead of Bubba, I'll call you Bubbles or something. Would that work?
Oh, my God. My nickname is out. That's funny. So, well, like again, welcome to the show. So,
thank you.
So, you know, when we read your bio and I talked to you earlier this week, you and your husband are amazing people. You guys just cover everything. I mean, I'm just amazed. Can you take a few seconds and kind of introduce yourself and kind of explain how you got into this lifestyle to begin with?
Well, it dates back actually to shortly after we were married. We got married in 1990, and the sort of instigating issue was this traffic jam from you-know-what. A huge accident on the highway. We were stuck in traffic for something like two and a half hours, and that was just on the way to work. Couldn't get off. It was just a gridlock. And we got home from work, and we looked at each other and said, we've got to get out of here. We just can't live this lifestyle. We were newlyweds. We wanted to start a family. We did not want to start a family living in the city. And we started trying to make plans, and at the time we had no children, we had no debts, we had a little bit of savings, and it was probably the best time we could possibly take a leap of faith, because that's all it was a leap of faith. And the excuse of sending me to graduate school in southwest Oregon, just south of Medford, we bought a small home on 4 acres, and we took a leap. We just jumped both feet first, left California, got out of there. And so one of the things we quickly realized is that we had no employment. And mm-hmm. we thought the job market would be a little bit better than it was, and to our surprise, it wasn't. And so we decided to take another leap of faith, and that was to start a home woodcraft business, which had been sort of a fantasy of my husband's for years and years. His father had been a woodworker, a very creative fellow, and Don is something of the same sort. And so it was kind of a now or never situation, because we had plans to have children, but we knew that once those children arrived, we couldn't take that leap of faith and jeopardize their security. If we were going to do something stupid, now was the time to do it. And so we started a woodcraft business making, of all things, hardwood drinking tankards, sort of like beer steins made out of wood. Someone's got to do it, you know?
Right.
And it took a long time. The first thing that happened is it plunged us into an instant state of poverty. I mean, when I say we had no income coming in, I'm not exaggerating. We had none. Zip, zilch, zero, nothing. So we lived off of our savings. We lived off of the credit card. We lived off of student loans because I was in graduate school. We did everything wrong. Everything wrong. And so it took us a long time to dig out of the hole we had dug ourselves into. Well, meantime, we had two daughters born. And so, of course, then we had to pay off the hospital bill. And we had a number of accidents happen. My husband accidentally amputated part of his thumb on the bandsaw. So that was a medical bill. I mean, just one thing after another. It was typical startup stupid young couple, you know, doing dumb things. And over time, we gradually pulled ourselves out of that hole, and we gradually straightened out our finances, and we learned how to live very, very, very frugally. Well, then Y2K started looming, and we didn't know much about the issue, but we had two tiny children, an infant and a toddler, and we knew that we couldn't jeopardize their security. And so that's kind of how we got into the prepping. Mm-hmm. And we had 4 acres, and so I learned how to can. We planted a huge garden. We got a cow and a calf, and I learned how to milk. We got a flock of chickens, and so we had meat. I learned how to butcher chickens, and so we had meat and eggs. And we tried to become as self-sufficient as we possibly could on that limited acreage. And frankly, there wasn't quite enough room. But we learned a lot. So Y2K came and went, and nothing happened. And about 2003, we decided, let's move to some larger acreage. We really needed more land. So we spent 2 years looking in Oregon, didn't find anything we wanted, and so we broadened our search into Idaho and Washington and Montana. And Idaho ended up having the best homeschooling laws, and so that's where we concentrated our search. And here's where we are 10 years later. And now have 13 cows and a horse, flock of chickens, large garden and orchard and all this kind of stuff. And so we've just kept trying to learn as much as we possibly could about the self-sufficiency and the preparedness side of things.
That's wonderful. So great story. And so a couple things I take out of that. Number one, people, you know, we talked about, you know, getting into the self-reliance lifestyle. It is not easy. You know, you have to have faith, and you have to have intestinal fortitude. You need to go and push through the problems. You know, we always say that you know, in life, sometimes you have to take the narrow gate, and the narrow gate is not always the easy one. And you're a perfect example of that, Patrice, where, you know, a little intestinal fortitude and, you know, a little bit of faith goes a long way to making something happen.
Well, there has to be a lack of fear or a willingness to face, perhaps I should say, failure. Because failure will happen all the time. Everything from a business could fail to your garden could fail. I mean, things happen. And you have to be willing to accept that and move on.
Right.
Absolutely.
Yeah. On a little side note, when I was talking to Patrice at the beginning of the week, I found out that I had actually bought one of her tankards at a Renaissance fair.
That's right.
Fair.
I forgot
so
that.
kind of a side note. It's funny how things happen in life. I mean, I bought it several years ago, and we were talking about it, and I said, "Oh, I have a tankard that I bought at a show." And she joked around and said, "Oh, it's probably ours." And sure enough, it was. And so it's funny how things happen, you know, when you start getting in this community and how, you know, people run together. So let's talk about your article. Man, I was fascinated by your article. In this current issue, you wrote an article called "The 7 Core Areas of Preparedness," and I read this thing and I went over it 2 or 3 times because, you know, as I keep admitting to everybody, I'm the beginning prepper. I'm the newbie. And I'd love to sit down with you and your husband, Don, sometime, because I'm kind of living what you did in the past, which is we just moved, you know, to 3 acres. You know, we're just trying to get our toe into it and kind of learn everything and everything else with the intention of getting a bigger acreage later, but realizing if we want to be frugal, you can't just jump in completely. It wouldn't be cost effective, and B, would just wouldn't be smart. So we wanted to take it step one, then step two. But your article covers everything. Ron, you were talking about it earlier. What was your favorite part of the article?
Well, I actually took her advice. One of the things that she talks about in here is bakery buckets. And so I did, just out of the blue, I did a quick Craigslist search, and I typed in buckets. And there was a local bakery here, and he says, I have buckets that I'll sell you for, I think it was like 50 cents a piece with the lids. And is that a good deal, by the way, Patrice?
That is a good deal. I've found buckets ranging from 2 to 3.5 gallons in size, and they can range in price anywhere from free up to $2 or $3 a piece. Either way, it's a good deal. The advantage of bakery buckets, first is their availability, because bakeries go through these things like crazy. Second is their food safe.
Yes.
Their food, they're made to have food in them. And third is they usually have a gasketed lid. And one of the advantages of buckets over other storage options is that it will guard the contents against moisture, against rodents, against insects, which still means you need to pack them properly. But that's your first line of defense, is those buckets.
Well, and the reason I did that is, you know, because I had so many bags of beans and rice and wheat that I was concerned about, like you mentioned, rodents getting in them. And I thought,
oh, yeah.
You know, I want to get it
concern.
Out of the bag. Yeah, so I went a little crazy, though, Patrice.
Uh-oh.
He had 300 of them.
Oh, my goodness.
Oh, jeez. Okay, first of all, something everybody has to learn about Colorado Ron, the guy cannot do anything in small steps. You know, you say, get a vehicle to go out. You guys should see this guy's SUV. You know, get an SUV to get out of Dodge. What does he do? He builds a 10,000-pound armored-plated vehicle so he has something to do. The guy cannot do anything in small steps.
That is so true.
Well, now you have some to share.
Yes, I got like 300 buckets now, but we used about 7 of them. No, I'm just kidding. I think we used 15 or 20 of them, getting all of our food storage out of bags and those sacks, and got it all out of that, and everything in buckets and labeled now. So now I've got, I don't know, a couple hundred buckets here, but I'm going to start, you know, increasing my food storage. But I'm going to also move everything, like I was looking in your article. Again, the article is on page 14 of this issue of Backwoods Home. But I like how you put the matches in buckets as well. So I thought, oh, that's perfect. So I'm starting to think I'm putting everything in the buckets.
You know,
toilet
well,
paper,
the buckets you may as
everything.
Well. Now, here's a challenge for you. Let me give a slight anecdote here that sounds unrelated, but it actually is, so bear with me. A couple of years ago, a lady in I had put out word at our church that we were looking for canning jars. I was just short on canning jars, and you know how it is. Sometimes older people who are finished with their canning days just want to get rid of the jars. And anyway, I just put the word out. So this woman came up to me and said, I've been helping this elderly lady clean out her home. She's moving into a nursing home, and she has lots of jars. Do you want them? I said, sure. So she comes in the next week with literally a pickup bed full with canning jars. There must have been 300 of them. That's why this story stuck in my head with your number of 300. So I was thrilled, and we brought them home, and I told my husband, you know what? It's my goal to fill all 300 of those jars with food. I'm an avid canner, and so I can everything I can get my hands on. Well, I did that in about 3 months.
Wow.
And then I was short on jars again. So
wow.
If you set yourself a challenge, it's astounding how well you can fulfill that challenge. So your challenge could be to fill those 300 buckets, assuming you have a place to store them. So if you've got a basement or a garage or somewhere that's not going to get too hot or anything like that, then by all means, fill those buckets. They don't all have to be filled with food. As you say, they could be filled with matches or sewing notions or various and sundry things that you normally go through on a day-to-day basis that you just buy extras of. So that's a nice challenge for you.
Yeah. Well, just before I jump into the next segue, it's kind of funny. What I end up putting in my – we read this, and we went to Walmart and picked up some of the things too. And what we ended up filling it up with was toilet paper. We had read in another article to get the industrial size at the big Costcos and things like that of toilet paper like the restaurants use, and they're giant round things, and they store horribly. But when we got home, they slid perfectly down there.
There you go.
And you could get three of them in a bucket, and it was perfect. I mean, three of them is probably 3 months' worth of toilet paper, if not more. You know, so now they're stored. They'll stay dry. It was amazing. So good stuff.
Of course, 3 months' worth of toilet paper, so says a guy.
That's probably true.
We have three females in our household of four, so.
I have three girls and my wife, so that way,
oh, okay.
I believe me, it's.
All right, then you are thinking of that. Now, here's a question for you, though.
Sure.
So you've got 3 months worth of toilet paper, you know, with one roll. What happens when you run out of toilet paper?
You know, I think that's a whole nother segment that we could probably go into.
I can give you a very quick and easy answer.
Please do.
Okay, go into your closest dollar store. Sometimes they're called the Dollar Tree, sometimes they're called the dollar store, whatever, 99-cent store. And go over to the wall aisle, and they're usually going to have kitchen towels and things of that nature, dish towels, things of that nature. And most of them sell, in packages of three, little cheap $3 for $1 washcloths made in Pakistan. And theirs are usually used for shop rags, things of that nature. Buy those in bulk. That's the reusable toilet paper.
That's a great idea. It's just like, you know, people that used cloth diapers back in the day.
Well, that's just it. We always used cloth diapers when our girls were babies. And this is the same principle. You put them in a bucket with a little bit of bleach, and you wash them separately from your other clothes. Now, this does, of course, assume that you have pulled together the means to wash clothes. So that is one big assumption. We have toilet paper stored aside, but, of course, the question arises that will only last so long, and then what? You stick them in a bucket, you seal them away, you just keep them there till you need them.
That's awesome advice. I'll add that to my list that are on my wall. So my question is, you know, I got tickled when I read the article. You have these sections in here. You're not Yul Gibbons. You're not Rambo either. I laughed my backside off when I read these things. And I have to ask you, you're basically covering misconceptions associated with prepping. Can you kind of expound on what those two articles about and what you were?
Well, the Yul Gibbons and the Rambo thing. Let me give a little background on that. First of all, I had one time I was lurking on a forum online, and this forum tended to be of a political nature I don't necessarily follow, but it was kind of fun to read the comments and such. And I got curious about most of the people on this forum were urban, and I got curious about the degree to which people in cities are prepared. And so I posted the question: if the bleep should hit the fan tomorrow, how prepared are you? And to be fair, most of them were quite sensible. Well, I've got, you know, X amount of food, and I've got stored water, and I've got this, that, and the other. It was fairly sensible. A few of them were the usual, well, we'll join hands with our neighbors and all sing kumbaya over a communal pot of soup, you know, that kind of stuff, which, okay, fine, whatever. But there was one response that absolutely stopped me short, and I thought I had to misread it. I read it two or three times to make sure I was getting it straight. And he said, this guy said he had no need to prepare because he would forage for the foods he needed from vacant lots and things like that. And I looked at that and went, okay, this guy's a lunatic. He has no clue the realities of foraging for edible plants in a city. We're talking like Los Angeles or San Francisco or somewhere like that. And he honest to goodness thought that this was going to be a viable means to keep his belly full. Do you have any idea, first of all, how rare edible plants are in a city? What happens if it happens to be in the middle of December in Buffalo? How are these plants, are they clean enough to eat? How are you going to cook them? How are you going to brave the riots out there to collect them? It was lunacy. But these people have this little fantasy that they're Yul Gibbons. And Yul Gibbons, if you remember, was the fellow who was so well-versed in bushcraft, wildcrafting, where he could go out and literally live off the land.
Oh, yeah.
And a remarkable fellow, just a remarkable fellow. And but these people who fancy themselves to be Yul Gibbons because they can recognize a blackberry plant think that they can live off the land in the middle of a city. Anyway, it was crazy. So what I'm urging people is...
What they don't realize is there was a ton of acreage for one person back then. He wasn't in a city.
That's the point. If you're walking through the woods, that's one thing. But if you're walking through downtown L.A., that's a whole different environment. It was comical. It was so bad it was comical. So what I urge people is don't be foolish. Unless you're Yul Gibbons and you are certain and have experience in living off the land, don't think you can do it. I'm trying to live off the land on our farm.
Who wants to live off of dandelions anyway? I mean,
the food doesn't taste all that great.
Well, I think most people think about foraging, they think about walking through their fruit and vegetable area of their local market, and they're like, people just don't realize how difficult it is and what's still out there, you know, in
exactly
the cities.
So. And that's why, you know, there's going to be a very sharp, very steep learning curve for a lot of people post-bleep anyway. And don't compound it with stupidity by assuming that you can forage for what you need in vacant lots. It doesn't work that way. So that's why I put in that little cut about you're not Yul Givens.
And you're not Rambo either. It's kind of funny. It seems like everybody has the same sort of misconception when it comes to, you know, all the, you know, I'm going to have all the weapons. I'm going to do this. I'm going to do that. It's just, there is a lot of misconceptions in general, I think.
Well, that tends to be, fortunately, most people don't fall under that situation, but there tends to be a kind of a machismo guy thing. No offense meant. And, you know, you think that if you've got two or three firearms tucked away that you're invincible and vulnerable and that you're going to just mow down anybody who crosses your path. I mean, come on, guys, be realistic. If a woman with a crying toddler, a starving woman with a crying toddler comes knocking at your door, do you really think you're going to gun them down? No. At least let's hope not. Now, that said, with a word of warning that, I have relatives down in Louisiana who were affected by both Hurricanes Katrina and Rita, coastal Texas and coastal Louisiana areas. And that was actually a common ploy for home invasion robberies, was a crying, you know, woman with a baby or a toddler would knock on the door. Person opens it out of sympathy and compassion, and suddenly there's a home invasion. So one of my elderly aunts had a neighbor who was affected by that kind of a home invasion robbery, and my aunt refused to answer the door for anybody for quite a ways after Katrina hit. So those things can happen. But the whole point is don't be macho and talk from a body part you really shouldn't be talking from. Don't go looking for trouble.
I agree completely. People ask me what was the first thing that when we looked at getting into the prepping lifestyle, what we did. And I said, you know, the first thing that I changed in my life, and I'm not saying everybody needs to, is we got our library going, had a Bible on the shelf, and then we thought about, you know, forget about the defense. We want to make sure that we can just live. And we started with the food supplies and everything else. Although it's important to get the weapons, and we definitely got our arsenal picked up. You know, be smart. I mean, the first thing that you have to do is you have to make sure that you're going to be able to sustain yourself and work smart. You don't need to spend all your money on machine guns and everything else right
Heaven
away to go ahead
you know.
And take
no,
care
no,
of it.
No, no, no.
You can't eat bullets.
Yes, correct.
So,
but only once.
Wouldn't taste good.
Oh,
so it wouldn't go
fine.
Down too well.
That's right. Wow, that was bad. Yeah, Patrice, I hate to do this. We're having such a good time with you, but we actually are almost out of time. So I want to make sure that we kind of get some of the stuff that you're doing out there to the audience, so they can kind of get you. But before I do that, I want to. We enjoyed having you on so much. We'd like to offer to have you on a more regular basis. If you have time, we'll let you know.
When we
can have you back. But more than that, we have our next show. Unfortunately, it's too late. We have our expo coming up next week. I would love to have you and Don join us at the next expo and have you live on stage if we can persuade you two to do it. If you guys would have that conversation and see if you guys would be interested, we'd pay for your hotel and get you down there. I think the audience would love to listen to you guys live.
Oh, my goodness. That's a very kind offer. The only codicil I have to give is one of us needs to stay home. And so it would have to be either he or I, because we've got the farm, and so we can't leave the animals unattended. But let me talk it over with him.
I vote he.
Pardon
hey,
me.
Hey, now we're gonna bring Patrice down, and we'll actually make sure that Don can hear you on the radio, and he can sit back there and go, oh. This is a genuine offer. If it's something that we can do, we'd love to get you out there, and so we can continue on this conversation.
Thank you.
So, guys, that's the end of the show. Next week, we will be on live for 90 minutes, live from the expo. Maybe we can hit Patrice back up and finish this conversation, because there's more questions we want to ask her. Patrice, again, is one of our homestead writers for Backwoods Home Magazine. She and her husband, Don, do the writing there. They have www.rural-revolution.com, which is her blog. And she also has, tell us really quickly, the name of your book that you have currently for sale, Patrice.
It's called The Simplicity Primer, and it is available through Backwoods Home, and there's also a link on my blog.
Wonderful. Thank you very much for joining us on our show, and hopefully we can talk to you live from the expo next week if you're available.
It was a pleasure. Thank you for having me.
Thank you. Thanks for coming, Patrice.
Uh-huh. Thank you.
All right, guys.
as we said, next week, live, Self-Reliance Expo, Dallas, Texas. We have lots of things going on. We're going to do a 90-minute show. We'll bring on some more people from the magazine and talk to a lot of vendors live. So please join us. Remember, Backwoods Home Magazine, we are here to educate you. So, Ron, do you have anything final to say?
You've been listening. You've been listening to BHM Radio, the official show for Backwoods Home Magazine on the Preparedness Radio Network. Tune in every other week at this time to get more information on the articles you love. Questions or comments for the hosts? Email them at coloradoron@gmail.com. Until next time, remember, preparedness saves lives.
The Self-Reliance Expo is coming to the Mesquite Convention Center February 10th and 11th. The keynote presenter is Mike Adams, the Health Ranger and Editor-in-Chief of NaturalNews.com. Come and hear what more than 3.2 million people read about from Mike Adams every month. Mike will be speaking on survival nutrition, how to choose foods and supplements that will keep you alive and healthy. Hourly education workshops and presentations will be taking place each day at the Self-Reliance Expo. Classes include cooking essentials by Sun Oven, personal protection, home defense, canine demonstrations, homeschooling, learn to suture by Dr. Bones and Nurse Amy, and how to build underground structures. This is one expo that is a must for all ages. There will be prize giveaways and drawings, exhibitor awards, and much more. For more information, go to selfrelianceexpo.com. Like us on Facebook and save $2 when buying your tickets online. Kids 12 and under are free. Tickets valid for both days. So bring the whole family. Selfrelianceexpo.com.
Discover the taste of the sun. Thousands of preppers have acquired a sun oven to have on hand in the event of an emergency and have been pleasantly surprised by the improved taste of sun-cooked foods. Sun ovens are a preparedness item you can start using today. A sun oven will pay for itself by reducing your utility bills and by keeping your house cooler in the summer. Food can be baked, boiled, or steamed at temperatures of 360 to 400 degrees Fahrenheit with the power of the sun. Sun ovens are often confused with homemade solar cookers, but they get considerably hotter, cook food faster, and hold temperatures longer. Sun ovens fold up in seconds, carry like a suitcase, and have many innovative features which make them the ultimate solar appliance. For the past 25 years, sun ovens have been proudly made in the U.S. They are durable and have a long life and come with a 100% satisfaction guarantee. For a discount coupon, email preppers@sunoven.com. That's preppers@sunoven.com. Been listening to the Preparedness Radio Network, offering helpful and timely tips on preparing for natural and man-made disasters, timely and useful tips on gardening and homesteading. Check us out online at BePreparedRadio.com. Until next time, remember, preparedness saves lives. This is the Preparedness Radio Network.